So I've led what amounts to a perfect life. Valedictorian in high school, magna cum laude in college, Ivy League medical school. I was a surgeon for our sailors and Marines during 3 deployments in Iraq. So what do you think? Yeah, that's what I thought. So I sense a little skepticism from you guys, especially you guys who have been in regen for a while. Ecclesiastes 2:10-11. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them, for my heart found pleasure in all my toil, and this was my reward. Then I considered all that my hands had done and the toil I had expended in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. My name is Alex, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from sexual immorality and pride. Hey, guys. So that was the persona I wanted to convey to everybody, that I had it all together. I had this life, this thing called life, all figured out. But now I'll share the real story, the true story of God saving my life and resurrecting my marriage. In September of 2016, I sat where many of you are right now, as a self-described agnostic. My wife and I were separated when I first came to Regeneration. She had discovered some pictures on my phone that eventually led to the discovery of an affair I was having with a woman at work. What my wife didn't know at that time was that affair was only the tip of the iceberg. There was a much longer list of inappropriate relationships that took place, not only during our marriage, but also throughout the entirety of my life, which was never disclosed to her. When I started coming here, I'm not certain what I was looking for, but I knew my trajectory needed to change dramatically. But I'd like to take you on a journey way back in my life to show y'all how I arrived at Regen and what happened when Christ got a hold of my heart. So I grew up in a godless home and spent most of my childhood growing up on a small 20-acre farm outside of St. Louis, Missouri with my dad, stepmom, sister, and half-brother. My father was a disciplinarian with a short temper who ruled the roost with an iron fist and the liberal use of his belt. My biological mother, who's Japanese, left us after her divorce from my dad to go back to Japan when I was about 7. That abandonment was a wound that became the foundation for most of my future relationships. While there were good times with Dad while growing up, the bad seemed more memorable. My dad had a penchant for yelling and threats, while occasionally backing up those threats with beatings. Consequently, fear loomed over our house like a dark storm cloud. When I was around 11, I was first introduced to pornographic magazines and a boy's fort that was in the woods. This was the first step in a life marked by sexual immorality. Throughout high school, college, and well into medical school, I was desperately lonely. I dated very little and was viewed as friend material. As a young adult, I would only intermittently hook up, but these inappropriate sexual relationships just left me feeling empty and deeply ashamed. I only recently recognized I was trying to fill the God-sized hole in my heart with those false relationships. When I met my first wife, she was in an unhappy relationship, which became my modus operandi to get the girl. I would find a girl unhappy in her relationship, flirt with her, console her, and then offer her something better. I became a wolf in sheep's clothing by taking an interest in them, which led me to become an expert in grooming women. And I didn't even realize that this was the term for that behavior until recently. I would avoid rejection and at the same time push the envelope as far as I could. I would lure many women into emotional, then physical relationships. I did this with anybody I found attractive, regardless of their circumstances. When I reflect back on this past life, I'm deeply saddened by that was what I became. Romans 1:24-25. Therefore, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. After I left my first marriage for another woman, my sexually immoral life rocketed out of control. I started inappropriate relationships with multiple women at the same time. I was completely out of control, and I didn't seem to realize it. Yet paradoxically, I still had this insatiable craving to be loved. If the women I met didn't meet my standard of perfection, I was out. No woman, however, in the history of creation could ever have met that standard. I was looking for something that no other human could ever satisfy. I continued to bounce from one relationship to another, from one marriage to the next. With one divorce under my belt and a second marriage already in turmoil from the affairs that had been discovered, I met my third and current wife, Jen, who is an atheist, who was an atheist at the time that I met her. All the while, I was continuing to feed my addiction to pornography and other inappropriate sexual relationships. Despite the revolving door of women in my life, I knew in my heart that there was something different about Jen. Something I saw in her compelled me to desire to change. But because I didn't have God in my life when I first met her, I remained a hopeless slave to my sinful patterns of inappropriate sexual relationships along with pornography and masturbation. I knew something was wrong, but I couldn't stop, and I couldn't be authentic. I told myself I would lose everything if I revealed all of my sexual past. I was trying to be better, but continued to manage and hide my sin. Psalm 32, 3 through 4. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. In August of 2016, what proved to be my final affair came to light. After moving out, I moved in with my brother's family, and my brother directed my wife and I to Watermark, where I was introduced to Regeneration and Reengage, Watermark's marriage ministry. Going to Reengage and Regeneration simultaneously, I kept hearing the same thing from people sitting up here. Tell the whole truth. Within a few weeks, I heard that message twice. Jen knew about the one affair, but couldn't know about everything. I thought to myself, the truth would surely destroy my family, and it would rip apart our girls who had grown to love one another as stepsisters. So I continued to leak a little additional information to Jen almost every time I saw her. I can only imagine the pain she experienced. Please tell me this is all, she implored. It was awful because that wasn't all, and I knew it. Right before my conversion in 2016, I gave up on pornography and masturbation for good. While that decision was freeing, I continued to struggle mightily under the weight of my unconfessed sin. I prayed to a God I didn't know and listened to people talk about him in Regen and Reengage. I initially said in Regen that I had a new life in Christ when introducing myself, but I didn't actually believe it. In November of 2016, God stepped in, and over the course of a few short weeks, he made his presence completely clear to me. First, I made the single most important decision I'll ever make. I finally came to trust Christ with my life and my heart while deciding in the context of disclosing all of my sexual past to Jen. My counselor instructed me that I needed 6 weeks to prepare, which was extremely hard for Jen because she knew well ahead of time that a Mack truck would be running her down. Next, I tore every major ligament in my remaining good knee playing the sport I loved, soccer. It was the last game I will ever play and the first time I ever scored a hat trick, which is 3 goals in a match. Very sweet of him to give me that nice parting gift. After the operation, God gave me time to rehabilitate my knee and my heart. It gave me time to spend with my brother, who was a believer, and to grow in my faith. God had finally captured my heart. Third, I discovered the dad of my daughter's swim friend was grooming her over text and Instagram. While I'm grateful that children are not part of my addiction, I also realized that I was no different from him apart from Christ. I had told many women that they were beautiful over the years and asked them to send me pictures, just as this man did with my 11-year-old daughter. Finally, a month after my knee operation, I lost the job where my former affair partner was still employed. God took what I saw as a difficult decision and made it easy. It also gave me the time I needed to grow spiritually and to prepare for my disclosure with Jen. Soon after I lost my job, Jen and I went through a disclosure that took 2 very long hours. Soon afterwards, I felt deflated from both the pain I had inflicted and under the weight of an uncertain future. I thought that there was a good chance that our story could end in divorce. Yet, just 3 days later, our re-engage group gathered around the fire pit of our leader's home, and to my amazement, Jen was there. We were able to share our pain and even smile and laugh. Now, I don't know about you, but in what world does that ever happen? Wow. This God is some amazing God that I can share such hurtful things, and he can keep us moving toward reconciliation. So in contrast to God's wrath in my life manifested by giving me over to my own worldly lusts, God's love for me shone brightly during those hardships. He opened my eyes so that I might recognize his handiwork while it was happening. I see my conversion story in Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He emptied me while walking with me through each hardship during the last 2 months of 2016. If God shows favor to the humble, he was most certainly favoring me during this time. Through this journey, he revealed his unfailing kindness to me. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. Right after completing Reengage in May 2017, I launched into a Regen closed group. In August of 2017, by God's grace, my wife and I renewed our wedding vows and were baptized during the same ceremony. To my surprise, Jen brought the ring with her that she removed a year prior and swore she would never wear again, and then placed it in my hand. Welling up with tears, I placed it on my bride's finger once again. Regeneration came to its completion in February of this year, and I had a number of breakthroughs, which are as follows. Step three, trust. I knew God had my heart, and I thought I trusted him. I soon recognized, however, that I trusted him with my eternity, but not on a daily basis. It came to me while, of all things, playing golf on my own during this step. It was a beautiful day, so much to be grateful for. But I became angry after hitting a poor shot. Then I prayed, and his peace came over me, and I thought, wow, only he can have this effect on me. Then, less than 5 minutes later, I hit another bad shot, felt the anger well up in me again, manifested by a few, let's say, less than God-honoring words that came from my mouth. It was that moment that I realized that I allowed my circumstances to dictate my trust in God. Step four, inventory. This was a really hard step because it pushed me to take a long, hard look at the yuck that has hurt me, hurt others, and separated me from the love of God. I wasn't necessarily afraid of confronting it, but it was very mentally exhausting. But you can't expect to develop a healthy garden without first uprooting the weeds. This is the work that leads to the fruit of the Spirit. I realized through this step that I had never mourned my mother's abandonment. I began to recognize the trauma her abandonment caused for me, but I also acknowledged the pain that she must have felt leaving her kids behind. This helped me to understand where my deeply rooted need for love and approval had come from, and I finally understood what drove all of my sexual pursuits over the years. I also realized I chose to look for life in all the wrong places. Step eight, forgiveness. My favorite step, and a step that has led to freedom for me. While other steps like inventory were focused on my relationships with others, the sweet step was between me and God alone. I learned that because I have been forgiven much by God through Christ, I too must also forgive. Two biggies for me involved forgiving my biological mom for leaving and my dad for abusing me. Extending this forgiveness to them was such a beautiful gift from God to me. God warmly welcomed me, handing those hurts over to him while unburdening me in the process. Step nine, amends. My amends list is so long that this step is still a step that I'm working through. It's God's expectation that I will clean up my side of the street without expectation. to own, apologize for, and to ask forgiveness for my harms was also a beautiful gift. To receive forgiveness by most was a cherry on top of most of my amends. But to know that this action is pleasing to God has been more than enough, regardless of the outcome. Step 12, regeneration. This is the step that feeds my soul and fills my cup today. God has placed me here today to serve others, to be God's minister to others, to direct others to their creator, their father, the one who loves them unconditionally. I get to use my story to show others that there is no sin that is bigger than God's grace through Jesus Christ, that Jesus' death and resurrection counted for me as it counts for you, as it counts for anybody else who receives him, no matter the magnitude or quantity of sins or hurts. I get to show others through my wife's forgiveness of me what forgiveness looks like in action. Oh, and spoiler alert, her ridiculous story is next week, as you've already heard. So please come back. I'm a living testament that Christ's love for us can cut through any hurt and can lead to healing. God is truly the great physician, the great surgeon. And this is coming from a physician, a surgeon actually. He is the one who can heal any injury, no matter how deep or extensive. Since completing Regen, my life has changed radically. God has placed two men who are running after the Lord in my life. They both fully know me and hold me accountable for my desire to turn from sin and to turn to Christ for life. My wife and I have been deployed by the Lord in a lot of ways over the past 6 months. We are pouring into our three daughters who have had marriage horribly modeled for them throughout the entirety of their lives. My wife will speak more about this next week. But during a recent girls' purity retreat in Oklahoma, I was able to illustrate to them what to look for in a boy, to share how boys think and how to identify the wolves, like my old self, to help protect their purity, which is a precious gift from God, something I didn't even recognize until recently. I have been blessed to share my story of God's grace with other men who have struggled with sexual addiction. I am able to share with them what freedom looks like in a life with Christ. I truly enjoy walking with them and sharing that while their stories may not turn out like mine, that trusting in Christ will lead to a peace that surpasses all understanding. Finally, about 6 weeks ago, I made amends with my dad, who I hadn't spoken to in 10 years. I wished him a happy birthday last month, and he said that he was looking forward to healing with me. The story that God is writing for my wife and I continues as we are now leading our first closed group at Reengage here in Plano. We are fully leading out of our brokenness and our reliance on God through Christ. So, in response to my initial statement, no, I most certainly do not have a perfect life, even today. But I do have a Savior who is perfect, a Savior who is way bigger than any of my shortcomings, one who loves an imperfect person with an overwhelming, perfect love that never ends. And through his perfect love, I am learning to love others in ways that was not previously possible. Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt you with loud singing. If this is your first time here, thank you so much for being here with us this evening. While I can't imagine what you might be going through or experiencing right now, I do recognize that it might have been hard for you to bring yourselves in tonight. It's my hope that you come to see this as a safe place, that you will be loved by an amazing group of people. You will be loved regardless of who you are, what you're going through, or what you've done. Perhaps you feel like you've done something so terrible that you can't be forgiven or that your life is well beyond repair. Perhaps you don't know who this Jesus is and what he can do for you, or alternatively, how he could allow whatever it is that's happened to you. There are a lot of wonderful people here who are more than willing to walk with you through these struggles and many of these difficult questions. All I ask of you is that you do a few simple things. Number one, look with your eyes and listen with your ears and hear the stories of change that are occurring in the lives of those around you. And two, please just keep coming back to assess for yourself if all that you see happening here is normal based on the current cultural standard in this country. Then ask yourself, what is the common thread behind all of these hard to believe and sometimes ridiculous stories of healing and resurrection? There's only one word, one name, and that's Jesus. My name is Alex, and I absolutely, most definitely have a new life in Christ. I am recovering from sexual immorality and pride. Thank you for letting me share.